Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Simon Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Easter continues. What God did in Jesus, God continues in the people who follow Jesus. That's what Luke is training us to see in story after story. As the church gets started, the power of God that fed the hungry, healed the sick, and chased away the demons when Jesus was among us, that same power is still operating. God continues to bring the dead to life. Today, we hear a resurrection story, but it is more than a resurrection story. It describes a very special woman. This lies close to Luke's purposes. In a time when history books didn't mention women, he gives us their names. In a culture where women were not accepted as witnesses in a legal case, he says three women were the first to report that Jesus is alive again. When the very disciples of Jesus dismissed their report as idle gossip, mere chatter, Luke corrects them and says, "No, what they say is true, and they are to be trusted." The four Gospels, Luke alone tells us that women financed the ministry of Jesus out of their own purses. Apparently, the men were spending the money, but the women were making it. And when the gospel moves beyond Jerusalem into the wider Mediterranean world, it is Luke who introduces us to a businesswoman, Lydia, the merchant in Philippi. She's wealthy. And that would have been an extraordinary story to conservative Jewish men. A merchant, wealthy, no man in sight nor needed, the founder of a congregation. Luke wants us to know that women are created in the image of God, just like those who are not women. They have value, they have worth, they have inherent dignity, and maybe that's why he interrupts his own story of the conversion of St. Paul to tell about the raising of a woman who had passed away. Her name is Tabitha. She lived in the seaside city of Joppa. Her Greek name was Dorcas. If you've ever wondered how one of our women's Bible study groups came to be called the Dorcas Circle, well, here's the story, which then led to the Dorcas Society that founded this congregation. Dorcas is the Greek word for gazelle. Dorcas, gazelle, I'm going to call her Tabitha. That's her given name. And I'm going to honor what Luke does in telling this story. I'm going to honor the fact that she is devoted to good works and acts of charity. Here's a woman who did not sit on the edges and watch. She didn't wait to be asked if she could help somebody in need. No, she was on it. And her life was shaped by kindness. Luke says two things about her. First, she was running a charity program for the poor in her city. She was proving with her kindness that the world had been turned upside down by Jesus. That in the love of God, the poor are remembered, the downtrodden are no longer underfoot. God sees them, Christ loves them, and the people that love God and Christ love those in need. That's how resurrection works. You can't phone it in from a distance. You cannot offer thoughts and prayers without also offering action. God comes for those who cannot provide for themselves. They're not to be discarded, but embraced. This was Tabitha's ministry. She made the love of God specific for those in any need. And the second thing Luke says about her is that she is a disciple. Interesting, this is the only time in the entire New Testament where the feminine form of the word disciple is ever used. Tabitha's life is given particular status. There were plenty of women who followed Jesus, plenty of women who served others, but that word disciple is now broadened to speak of women. It used to be a word only for men, but now it's for Tabitha too. She becomes sick and she dies. It's quite a shock for her circle of friends. They gather to grieve, they gather to prepare her body for burial. But then a couple of them remember that the Apostle Peter is only about 15 miles away, so they send for him. But they don't say why. We don't know what they expect. They're calling him in to do the eulogy. They want him, them basically to console with them with a sermon. Nobody says. It's a vague invitation. Until he arrives, and they're gathered around, and they show what Tabitha has been doing. She's been making clothes, coats and tunics for women who have nothing. They are widows, said Luke, which in the Bible is code language for those whom the society forgot. They lost their husbands, and in Joppa, that meant they lost their legal status, they lost their means of income, to say nothing of losing their lifelong companions. Tabitha had stepped into the gap and provided for them, and now she was gone. This is the crisis for these women, the crisis that a world of first century men would have otherwise ignored. Peter takes it to heart. As we heard, he clears the room, which is something Jesus would have done. He gets on his knees to pray, and then God gives life back to Tabitha. Nobody was there to see it, but they rejoiced when they saw her again. Her kindness would continue. Her good works would go on. Now, the Bible commentaries don't have much to say about this story. It's brief. It's frequently overlooked. I heard someone comment on it once. It was a man. He said, well, compared to the conversion of St. Paul, which is the dramatic story that takes up most of the chapter, you have to wonder why the camera is turned so abruptly to this small account of a woman who made tunics for widows. He paused and added, and I think that's exactly the point. Paul, previously named Saul, was murderous and abusive. As Flannery O'Connor once quipped, the only way to convert that one was to knock him off his horse. But by contrast, Tabitha's gracious and kind, generous and just, using her skills to provide for others. She's a model of how all people should live, a living disciple of Jesus. She was every bit as worthy of the spotlight which she would have never shined upon herself. So I give some thought to this on a day when we celebrate the gifts of women. There's nothing flashy in this story, nothing dramatic, nothing earth-shattering about her work for others, except that it was deeply and profoundly for others. She gave no thought to her own comfort, kept none of the handiwork for herself, didn't need a man to prop her up, at least as far as we can tell. When she passed, they called one of the apostles and showed him the clothing she made. And that was her life. About 6 months ago, I was sitting with a family as they grieved the passing of their grandmother. A remarkable woman, they said. Well, what would you like to remark on, I asked. Nobody said much. Could you tell me about her? We kind of looked at one another. One of them confessed, she did so much for all of us, but it was always so quiet, behind the scenes. Another said, well, she made sure we were well fed. She patched my blue jeans. She gave us a long hug when we were distraught. Another paused, and then one said, I guess we just took her for granted. And then someone else said, you know, it just occurs to me now how much she could get done in a single day. We sat for a bit of silence, and then I suggested a scripture passage for their reflection. It's an ancient poem, last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Some of you may know this one. It begins, a capable woman who can find, and then I shared with them some of the lines. She rises while there's still night and provides food for her household. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid for her household when it snows. She must have lived in Pennsylvania. And all her household is clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she never eats the bread of idleness. They looked at me and said, that's Grandma. That's her. And today I would add that's Tabitha or Dorcas or any number of women who provide for the needs of others without calling any attention to themselves. That's what's so remarkable about them, and that's why a story like this one needs to be in the Bible. So today we remember some of the women who have revealed the charity of God among us. The list is long. Many of their works of kindness have remained quiet and under the radar, but in affirming them, we have affirmed the kinds of lives that God calls us to live. I remember Carol. She was wise, artistic, a teacher, but above all, a woman of great faith. I remember Roberta. Literate and generous, always bought my daughter a book for the birthday that they share. I still have the letters of encouragement that she wrote for me. I remember Pauline, still among us but now moved away and still in touch. She's been energetic, biblically grounded in the promises of God, and when I saw her last month, she says, I pray for you every day. I remember Nadine, gone a while, but she was the embodiment of Christian hospitality. One time, she threw a dinner party for 30-some Hispanic farm workers just because no one had ever done that for them before. I remember Betty Ann, sang in our choir, mentor for younger women, constant friend, lover of animals. I remember Mary Ann, still with us, but now in Rhode Island. She loved this community, and she worked quietly behind the scenes to make it flourish. And I remember Betty, dear Betty. She knit over 300 pairs of mittens for the homeless, people she would never know, but people she believed were worthy of the love of Jesus Christ. These are just a few. And if we were to spend the rest of this rainy day giving thanks for the women who have shown God's mercy and grace to the world, it would be a day well spent. And let this be a reminder for us in this celebrity-intoxicated age that you don't have to be famous to have a true impact on others. In fact, you can make a quiet difference simply for the sake of making a difference. Nobody has to realize it until after you've moved on. Just like Tabitha, or Dorcas, or the woman they called the gazelle. How surprised she would be to discover that one day her story would be told in the scripture. And yet, today, she is the one we remember. I'll bet there's a woman you remember. Can you think of a name? Think of a name. Isabel. Margaret.
Florence.
Wherever they are, whether still among us or in heaven, how pleased they would be that you remembered them.